thought for today. Let children be children. Now, that's an easy statement to make, isn't it? Let children be children. What could be more natural than letting children be children? Well, what is more natural than letting children be children is to let children be children. We think that children want to be children. We think that children want to play games. We think that children want to do nothing. We think that children want to watch TV. We think that children want to go visiting each other. We think children want to go camping. We think children want to go flying to the moon. We think children want to go to the swimming pool. We think children want to do everything we think children want to do. Now, we're living in an interesting age. Every age is interesting, obviously, but we're living in an interesting age, and this age is one where we're getting a new glimpse of what children are. We're introducing children to computers, and some are introducing children to computers to play games. Others are introducing children to computers to play games in doing their homework for school, mathematics and what have you. Others are introducing children to computers because there are things that are secret on there they shouldn't see. And others are introducing children to computers to help them to pass away the time. Others are introducing children to computers so that they don't have to take care of the kids. They have the computer as a babysitter. For a while, the television was a babysitter, but the television soon got old, and the kids soon got uninterested in the television. Oh, really? Yes. The few people that you know about who are interested in television 100% of the time, so to speak, are very few. You see, the minority always makes the majority look bad. Because the minority is usually so outspoken and so demonstrative that the majority just says, gee, everybody is interested in watching TV all the time. Did you watch TV all the time in your home? Do you know of children who are constantly watching TV? Who put them there? The parents. Because it's a babysitter. It's a way of getting rid of them. What are the kids doing while they're watching TV? They're playing games. They're not eyeballing that TV set as though it's the God, you know, something that they must pay attention to fully. It's just something to be in the background. They're playing their games. They have their drawings. They do whatever they want to do. Their blocks and their Legos and stuff like that. And when they get on a computer itself, though, when children get on a computer and learn how to press the keys and have magic happen on the screen, when they learn how to do things that they aren't supposed to do, when they learn how to crash a program. I taught a computer class for quite a number of years, well, months, years, and I had many recalcitrant students. It was in a prison, so naturally I had recalcitrant students. And the students would come to me and they would say, hey, how do we crash this thing? How do we crash it? And how do we do this? And they wanted to do all the naughty stuff. And I told them, hey, it's real easy. You ask me once again, and you won't be in the class. But how do we crash these things? Well, you crash them by doing these very simple operations. And I said, just go click, 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 and crash. He said, oh, let me see that. Okay, click, 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 and it's crash. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I crashed the computer. And they go back to their dorms and what have you, and they tell their fellow prisoners that they have been crashing the computer. And the next day they come back to me, the teacher, and they say, ah, what are you going to show us today that we can do, you know, to mess up the computers, to bang them up? I said, well, now, today let's learn how to uncrash a computer. I mean, very few people are able to uncrash a computer. Only the highest of the intellectual, astute, aware people can do that. Well, I'm not an intellectual genius. Hey, you're more of an intellectual genius than you know. Let me show you. you just press this and press this and press this, and pop, up she comes just like she'd been sleeping. Because I didn't tell him, but that's what I taught him how to do. I taught him how to put the computer to sleep, not how to really crash it. And so they thought, gee, that's easy. And pretty soon they're saying, hey, I'm becoming a computer expert. I learned how to uncrash a computer. And so now their theme is to uncrash a computer. Now, I've taught many youngsters, too, little people. And they, of course, wanted to crash the computer, too, because that sounds exciting. Oh, that sounds so exciting. Let's crash these cars. Let's crash these computers. Who talks about that? Their parents. On television, they talk about it. And so the kids get it. They want the guns. They want all these other things because that's what they're told about on television. That's what they sell. That's what they sell to these kids. And so the kids' parents have to get them to keep them happy. Ha ha. Well, let children be children. Children have that certain something that is priceless. Some of the adults had it too. And it's called curiosity. They're curious about everything. They're curious how computers work. They're curious how to make rope tricks. They're curious. They will look at you doing something, which you are doing with a lot of interest, and they'll say, how do you do that? Show me how to do that. When Gertrude Suter had her class on vocational education at school, she had boys and girls both in the class. And the boys and girls were equally interested and not interested. And so Gertrude had to learn how to make the work that she was teaching them interesting. She had to learn how to make crocheting and knitting and sewing and cooking and other things that she was teaching interesting to the boys as well as the girls. And how did she do it? She just made it sound so much fun. The kids wanted to do it. And they'd say, no, only those who are the top of the class can do this. And then she would point to a few of the kids who were not top of the class. And she would say, now you're the top of the class today, so you do it. And the kids would jump in there with eagerness and say, I'm top of the class and I'm doing these. And they would do an excellent job. But you see, she is a magical teacher. She loved the children. She loved her class. She thought every day was a new experience of love for her, a new experience of practicing what she had no idea she was going to practice. She had no idea what sort of challenges were going to come to her, but she was ready for them because she was curious. And she taught this curiosity to her children. She taught them, hey, how can we do this? Now, let's take this thing here. You know, it's called, what's this called, kids? Soapstone. Oh, let's take this soapstone and let's see what we can do with it. Well, what can you do with soapstone? You make things out of it. Well, what should we make out of it? How about if we make a dove come out of the soapstone? Ooh, how do you do that? Well, let's start over here. Now, here's the bill of the dove. I don't see the dove, but here's the bill. See, it's just like he's poking out of the soapstone and he's getting ready to be born. He's getting ready to emerge, to come right out of the soapstone. And these are young people who don't have a great vocabulary, but they don't know it, but they're learning lots of new words that are words that adults would love to know how to use. But they're learning how to use them by using them. And when Gertrude's class is over, she has taught English. She has taught mathematics. She has taught history. She has taught hygiene, for personal hygiene, washing themselves and keeping themselves clean and stuff like that. She has taught them manners. She has taught them ethics. She has taught them values. She has taught them a class that no other teacher in the entire school can do because no other teacher can embrace the entire child like she can. Every other teacher works only in their given field. But her field is the total child. And she is and was and is so excellent at it because she loves herself and she loves the children. She knows how to let the children be children. She knows how to get a hold of that curiosity that they have right within their heart, and how to stimulate that curiosity so that the child is just so eager. I got to get back to class. Mom, I don't want to be late for school. I have Miss Suter's class first thing in the morning. I want to be there. And Miss Suter, Mrs., can you show me today? And what do you want me to show you? Well, you said yesterday you were going to show us how to make a dove come out of a piece of soapstone. I told my mother we're going to make a dove come out of a piece of soapstone, and my mother says, well, that I'd like to see. And I want to show her. And then Miss Suter says, first, we wash our hands. We don't want to touch the soapstone with dirty hands. And then we put all of our other toys away, all of our other things away, and we just take out the carving sticks and the carving knives, which are dull knives, and we're going to carve in the soapstone. But remember, the dove wants to come out of the stone. It's in there. We have to find it. And we have to let our knife gently go in and just take little flakes at a time, and then let it emerge little by little. Let it come out. Let it be born. And the kids are so excited. They're children being children in creative, dynamic ways. And others take them to a detention hall, and they say, you've been a bad boy. And so in detention hall, all the kids in detention hall have been bad boys and girls, and they're figuring out ways of getting back at society. Let's go out and see how many windows we can break before we get caught. Let's go out and see how many things we can do that are bad before we get stopped. Let's go. And you see, that's what detention halls are all about. That's what prisons are all about. It's a place to learn to be more negative to society. If in our schools, our prisons, in our educational centers, wherever they may be, and I mention prisons because prisons are like schools. In schools, you let the children do anything they please, and you try to encourage them to learn. In prison, you let the prisoner do anything he pleases, and then try to encourage him to learn. And in Sunday school, when I taught Sunday school, the kids hated to come to Sunday school, unless it was my class. And in my class, we had such fun. All the Bible stories came alive. The kids said, why, that's just like Johnny down the street. That's right. I captured their curiosity, and I've been capturing people's curiosity all my life and having a ball at it. So if you're going to do something wonderful, and you would like to capture curiosity, and you would like to let children be children, then first capture your own curiosity. First capture your own. They say, if you want to know how to be a success in business, go talk to a successful man. Go talk to the top man of the company and say, Mr. Chairman of the Board, I want to be a success in my world. What suggestions do you have for me to be a success? And the chairman of the board thinks to himself, right here in the palm of my hand, I have an inquisitive, curious mind. I can stifle that mind by saying, get lost, get out of here. I got more things that are important to do than talk to you about being a success. Or I can take a few moments and I can work with that mind, and I can encourage that mind to be all that it can possibly be. I can give him a few words of wisdom, which for him will be something that will be his life work. By just taking a few minutes, my schedule is busy, I know, but my schedule is always busy, so what else is new? You ask a busy man to do something, and he'll find the time to do it. So, think about that. Think about that. How do you let children be children? Well, children are sponges. They want to soak up every opportunity and every exciting adventure that life has to offer. Children want to be alive and dynamic and forceful. They will have their sandbox and their invisible friends. They will have their kites flying into the sky. Up into the sky their kite goes, and they're right there with it. And we who have been down the road, we who have a mature wisdom, we who are storytellers par excellence, we teach the children how to dream. We teach the children how to wonder and wander in their minds. We teach the children how to observe the universe about them and take part in it. Let children be children. You bet. But not your way. Not with your limitations and your frustrations and your fears, but with their unlimited curiosity. And when you do that, you will have those children who will be the creators of the new software for today. You'll have those children be the creators of a world far more glorious than any world we want to protect. It's a world we want to project, a world we want to espouse, a world we want to find the curiosity, find the imagination, and go for it. That's letting children be children. And that's what we are. We want to be children and let children be children. So today, take out your nipple, take out your litcher, take out your drawing pens and papers and draw all over the walls. Do everything you want to do. Eat a whole quart of ice cream and gobble down all the chocolates. And then after you're tired doing those things that lead you nowhere, then start listening within to the dreamer in you and let him take charge. And the dreamer in you will bring forth dreams that the world has never imagined. The children are the great wizards of the computers. The adults merely create the programs that the children are wizards with. And one day the children will create those programs, and they'll create them so simple and so beautiful that the adults will say, "Why didn't I think of that?" Thought for today, let children be children. But remember, it's not really what you think. Let them be curious, and let them be wonderful. I love you.